Hi, this is Stephen O'Doherty. The Catholic Archbishop of Sydney, Anthony Fisher, has expressed his concern about the practice of corporations giving official endorsement to causes like same-sex marriage. He says it's dangerous for corporations to try to dictate moral issues to the wider community. What sparked his concern? Well, in a byproduct of the fractious debate over same-sex marriage, several prominent business people have recently been forced to end their association with various Christian causes after links were made to their employment at secular organisations. Archbishop Fisher is one of those saying that in a civil society, there is no place for such intimidation.
Only today at church, I had a man come to speak to me after the service to say that he works in one of our big banks, and he said the situation now is he wouldn't dare openly identify as being in favour of the traditional understanding of marriage or openly identify as Christian in his workplace for fear that that would affect his employment or his career.
Well, we've come to a very sad state if that's happening.
Well, it's extraordinary because we're only a decade or so ago where people would have said, what do you mean a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman? It would have been unthinkable. And it wasn't just Christian churches, but all sides of politics, all our political leaders, all took the same view that marriage was between a man and a woman. Whatever people's views on the merits or not of that understanding of marriage, that you could think the same people 10 years on are somehow monsters for holding those positions and shouldn't be able to have responsible positions in companies seems an extraordinary pass in such a short time. And I fear the way people might use their commercial power or their employment power to bully others on a whole range of moral and spiritual issues in the years ahead if we allow this present one to keep developing in this very intolerant direction.
It's only a few months ago that the same-sex marriage lobby itself was saying we can't possibly have a plebiscite because even having the discussion in public will have Christians saying terrible things about people from the LGBTI community. And they went on to say this would threaten their lives because people would be, you know, so unhappy about the character of the debate. Well, I don't think we've heard anything like this from the Christian community, have we?
Not at all. I don't deny that there can be intolerant and sometimes quite nasty people on any side of a debate.
Yep.
But if you look at the way the Christian churches and groups like the Christian Lobby have sought to conduct themselves during this debate, it's been in a very civil way with conferences and debates and discussions, not attacking anybody or displaying homophobic or other kinds of nasty or violent attitudes at all. In fact, the bullying seems to all be coming from one side at the moment. And again, I wouldn't pretend that everyone on the pro same-sex marriage side would be in favour of that kind of tactic.
No.
I would imagine that many people who favour redefining marriage are themselves very uncomfortable with the intolerance, the intolerance of diversity.
Well, then perhaps they ought to be speaking out.
At the moment. So the very people who've been telling us of the importance of tolerance and of diversity of opinions and of attitudes on issues like marriage are themselves, some of them, demonstrating intolerance and trying to stop all diversity at the moment.
Well, undoubtedly, you've got on any side of a debate, and there are often, and there are usually more than two sides. So, you know, within a debate like this that's fractious, you will have individuals with access now to lots of media, and they can and will say all kinds of things that are not just hurtful, but inflammatory and harassing and so on. However, we get to the stage where this debate has been going on for a long time. Our MPs seem not to be able to deal with it. Can and should it come to a head, and in what fashion?
Well, The government brought to the people at the time of its election that it would be offering us a plebiscite so that Australians could all have their say on this, and it could be decided in a way that would would have the credibility of a popular vote. That's an unusual thing in Australian history, but at different times we have taken things to a popular vote because we regard them of constitutional significance or of a similar kind of social significance. And I think the institution of marriage is the kind of thing we might say is part of our social constitution. So it makes some sense to say, well, this is such a big matter and one that we, whatever way we decided, we'd want to be confident that the community was behind it. Therefore, we take that to the people for a vote. That's what the government proposed. They were elected as the government, and unfortunately, they've not been able to put that to us as a plebiscite. That is still what I think would make the most sense as the way forward for us, that a plebiscite be offered so that there can be hopefully a civil debate where the arguments are put for both sides and ordinary Australians can be the ones to decide.
And Archbishop, the interesting thing is that the proponent of most of those specific attacks in the last 2 weeks through social media, he's actually saying on his own blog that it's not about same-sex marriage, it's about pride in diversity. And the mere fact that a person is associated with a Christian cause, he says, means they're not for diversity. In which case, it's more widespread than just the marriage issue. And so my question is this: that man who came to you today in church saying, "I'm in a major bank, but I wouldn't dare talk about this marriage issue," if his employer starts to act as some others have in the last few weeks, then we've got a very intimidating culture within our workplaces. So what do you say, as the Catholic Archbishop of Sydney, what do you say to employers who have Christians on staff, who have specific religious and moral convictions about issues?
Yes. Businesses are set up for specific purposes, such as providing transport services or banking services or telecom services. It's on that basis that the shareholders give the authority they do to the executives and the managers. It's on that basis that the community gives them certain corporate privileges. It's on that basis that people come to work for them, people buy their services and suppliers supply to them. And that's what they should stick to. They should stick to their business. That's, in fact, the only responsible use of their resources and their corporate power. Having that kind of power comes with certain responsibilities, and amongst those are responsibility not to abuse your power by bullying your employees or your customers or your suppliers or your own shareholders by trying to force them into social or moral positions that they might not agree with. We don't expect our telecom companies to be telling us what our policy should be across the range of moral and social issues. We don't expect our transport companies or our banks to do that. We expect them to be good at providing transport
and telephones and trucks
and banking to us. And of course they seek to maximise their profits within the range of what's legally and ethically responsible. That's what the job of the executives and the managers is to do for the shareholders and for the rest of the community. And I think just as it's could be overreach for a trade union or a church or all sorts of groups to decide they're going to be the government in a democracy like ours, so too it's dangerous for corporate leaders to decide that they're going to dictate social and moral policy to the rest of the citizens.
Very interesting times. Thank you so much for your perspectives and for joining us tonight.
Great to talk to you. God bless your listeners.